Welcome to Torah Dimecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Lynn Kraft, and today we will be learning Melachim Bet, Perek Yud, Chapter 10. In the last parak, in Perek Tet, Chapter 9, we learned that of the first half of Yehu's killing spree, intended to wipe out Ahav's dynasty and establish his own dynasty in Malchut Yisrael. We were told that he murdered Jehoram, the king of Yisrael, Ahaziahu, the king of Yehuda, and Yezebel, who was Ahav's widow and Jehoram's mother. In today's parak, in Perek Yud, Chapter 10, we will learn about the rest of his murders in this very disturbing episode. In Psukim Aleph through Gimel, verses 1 through 3, we're told that Yehu sent letters throughout Shomron to the officers, the elders, and the guardians of each of Ahav's 70 sons, who lives with them, and had access to their horses, their chariots, their fortified cities, their armor. And Yehu asked each of these men to choose the best one of Ahav's 70 sons to ascend the throne and then fight against him for the future of Ahav's dynasty. In Pasuk Dalet, verse 4, they all responded to the letters with extreme fear, since if even the two kings, Jehoram, the king of Yisrael, and Ahaziahu, the king of Yehuda, couldn't stand up to Yehu, how would they be able to? So they sent a letter to Yehu in Pasuk Hey, verse 5, telling him that they were his servants and would not anoint anyone as king, but rather they would do whatever he wanted. Yehu wrote them a second letter in response to theirs in Pasuk Vav in verse 6, in which he told them that if they were on his side, they should kichu et roshei anshei bnei adonaychem, take the heads of the men, your master's sons, ubo elai ka'et machar Yisraela, and come to me at this time tomorrow to Yisrael. Upon receiving this letter, the men proceeded in Pasuk Zayin, verse 7, to slaughter the 70 sons of Ahav, placing their heads in baskets and sending them to Yehu in Yisrael. After he received these gruesome baskets, Yehu then commanded in Pasuk Chet, in verse 8, that the 70 heads be placed into two piles at the entrance of the gate until morning. When he proclaimed to the people in Psukim Tethriyud, verses 9 through 10, that he had assassinated his master according to the word of Hashem through his servant Eliyahu, and that nothing that Hashem said would not be fulfilled. Note that this is the third time Yehu has invoked the name of Hashem, and the second time he has invoked the name of Eliyahu in order to justify this murderous rampage. In Psukim Yud Aleph to Yud Zayin, in verses 11 through 17, Yehu then killed all those remaining from the dynasty of Ahav, including his important men, his acquaintances, his priests, and he slaughtered 42 of Ahaziahu's brothers as well. In Pasuk Tet Zayin, verse 16, he describes himself as having kin'ah l'Hashem, zealotry for God. And in the next Pasuk, Pasuk Yud Zayin, verse 17, the text yet again references the fact that this act of destroying the dynasty of Ahav was considered the fulfillment of the word of Hashem to Eliyahu. In Psukim Yudchet through Chavchet, in verses 18 through 28, Yehu turned his attention to one last target, the worshippers of the Baal. He started out by gathering all the people and claiming that Ahav had worshipped the Baal a little, and Yehu would worship him a lot, just in order to lure those Baal worshippers and priests to come to him. He claimed that he was going to bring the Baal a large sacrifice and that anyone who missed it would die. So every single one of the Baal worshippers throughout the entire kingdom fell for Yehu's deception, and there was not one who did not respond to Yehu's call. So they all filled up the Baal temple and they proceeded to offer sacrifices to the Baal. Meanwhile, Yehu placed 80 men outside the temple and told them not to let anyone escape. Once the sacrifices were completed, Yehu commanded the officers outside to kill the Baal worshippers, and they killed every last one by sword. They then completed the job by burning the pillars of the Baal temple as well. Pasuk Chaf Chet, verse 28, concludes, Vayashmeid Yehu et Baal miYisrael. Yehu destroyed the Baal from Israel. And so in this way, Yehu actually reminds us of Eliyahu, who also waged war against the Baal, and who himself inspired the slaughter of the Nevi'ei Baal, the prophets of the Baal, atop Har HaKarmel. Unsurprisingly, Yehu has referenced Eliyahu throughout the narrative, right, as we discussed, likely because he stood for the same ideals as Eliyahu. Not only did they instigate similar battles against the worshippers of the Baal, but they also both described themselves as having kin'ah l'Hashem, zealotry for God, and they both stood up against the dynasty of Ahav like no one else did. So this may seem, at first glance, to be the ultimate sanction of Yehu's rebellion, because he was so similar to Eliyahu, and he actually succeeded in getting rid of the horrible Avodah Zarah influences that Ahav had brought into Malchut Yisrael through his wife Yezebel. Yet the very next Pasuk, Pasuk Chaf Tet, verse 29, warns us against reaching that conclusion too hastily. Because despite the fact that he was able to so swiftly destroy the Baal and everyone who worshipped that foreign god, There were other negative influences that Yehu unfortunately did not succeed in getting rid of. Rak chata'ei Yeravam ben Nevat, only the sins of Yeravam the son of Nevat, asher hachati et Yisrael, who caused Yisrael, Israel, to sin, lo sar Yehu me'achareihem, Yehu did not depart from after them, egle hazahav asher Beit-El v'asher Bedan, the golden calves that were in Beit-El and Dan. And this is especially interesting since Yehu was very careful to point out throughout his entire rebellion, 8 times total, that he was fulfilling Hashem's mandate. Back in Perek Tet, Psukim Chav Hei through Chav Vav, chapter 9, verses 25 through 26, he invoked Hashem's name when he killed Yehoram in Nevot's field. Again in Perek Tet in Pasuk Lamed Vav, chapter 9, verse 36, he invokes Hashem's name again when he killed Yizevel. And in this perek, in Perek Yud, Psukim Aleph through Yud Aleph, in chapter 10, verses 1 through 11, he invoked Hashem's name yet again when the officers in Shomron killed Achav's sons. And Yehu's continued repeating of this claim should really lead us to pause and ask, does Hashem himself agree with Yehu, right? Was Yehu really just fulfilling Hashem's mandate? Or maybe, perhaps, did he go a little too far? Because, in fact, while there were, of course, many actions that Yehu did in order to fulfill what Hashem commanded him, either through the Navi sent by Elisha to anoint Yehu, or through Eliyahu when he was first commanded to do so, there were other acts that weren't commanded to him at all. And there really are several indications in the text that Yehu might have gone too far. Firstly, he repeatedly rejected the notion of shalom, of peace, in favor of murder. Secondly, and perhaps most importantly, while the murder of Yehoram ben Achav was certainly justified, the murder of Ahaziahu, the king of Yehuda, seems to have been completely unnecessary, as he had his own kingdom in Malchut Yehuda, and he therefore did not pose any threat to Yehu's dynasty in Malchut Yisrael. Not only that, but Yehu then proceeded to murder 42 members of Ahaziahu's family for no apparent reason, since they also didn't pose any threat to Yehu's dynasty, as they were also members of Malchut Yehuda. And finally, the narrative is replete with images of barbarism and almost savage delight in killing on the part of Yehu. For instance, the description of the arrow piercing Yehoram's heart back in Perek Tet in chapter 9 was rather vivid. The murder of Yizevel was described also in chapter 9 back in Perek Tet in all of its gory detail. And in our Perek, Yehu's request that the heads of Achav's 70 sons be sent to him in baskets and then the image of their heads being piled at the gate are all so disturbing. And so the Perek concludes its description of Yehu's rebellion with two seemingly contradictory statements. On the one hand, in Pasuk Lamed in verse 30, Yehu is described as having fulfilled Hashem's mandate and having been rewarded with a dynasty of his own that would last for 4 generations of his descendants, who we will learn about in the next several prakim. On the other hand, however, in Pasuk Lamed Aleph in verse 31, he is described as not fully keeping the Torah or following in Hashem's ways wholeheartedly, and is described again as following the sins of Yeravam, who caused Bnei Yisrael to sin. But if Yehu was so intent on purging Malchut Yisrael from all traces of Avodah Zarah with a bloodbath, he should have been more careful that his religious integrity would be flawless. And therefore, in Hosea Perek Aleph Pasuk Dalet, in chapter 1, verse 4, Hashem told Hosea, who was a Navi, a prophet, who lived towards the end of Yehu's dynasty, during the reign of his great-grandson, Yeravam ben Yoash, Hashem told Hosea, Ki od ma'at ufakadati et demei Yisrael al beit Yehu. For in a little while I will attend to the blood of Yisrael upon the dynasty of Yehu. Vihishbati mamlechut beit Yisrael, and I will cause the kingdom of the house of Israel to cease. In other words, Hashem promised his Navi, his prophet Hosea, that he would punish the dynasty of Yehu for the blood he spilled in Yisrael, and that he would ultimately destroy the kingdom of Malchut Yisrael. And we might ask, like we did before, didn't Hashem command Yehu to destroy Beit Achav, the dynasty of Achav? How could Hashem punish Yehu for fulfilling his own command? But as Rashi on this pasuk in Hosea explains, since Yehu and his children also worshipped Avodah Zarah, Hashem considers the blood of the dynasty of Achav to have been spilled in vain. Had Yehu succeeded in overturning the kingdom of Malchut Yisrael spiritually after he had destroyed the dynasty of Yehu of Achav, then all the murder would have been worth it. But once he merely continued to follow in the sinful ways of Yeravam ben Nevat, which were considered to be Avodah Zarah, foreign worship, not because they entailed worship of a foreign god, but because they entailed foreign worship of God, then all the murders which Yehu had perpetrated during his rebellion were ultimately pointless. Yehu was a man who himself did not live up to the high standards he had for others. While he zealously destroyed an idolatrous regime, he failed to apply that same zeal towards his own monotheism. Yehu had such potential to turn the kingdom around, but he wasted it. Perhaps that's why he was punished more than other kings who followed in the ways of Yeravam ben Nevat, because it wasn't only that he committed those sins, It was that he committed them after perpetrating murder in order to reverse those very sins and get rid of them from the kingdom. And so we're told in Psukim Lamed Bet through Lamed Gimel in verses 33 through 34 that Hashem punished Yehu by sending Hazael to attack every border of his country, of Malchut Yisrael. And in Psukim Lamed Hey through Lamed Vav, verses 35 through 36, we're told that he ruled over Malchut Yisrael for 28 years in Shomron, and after his death was succeeded by his son Yehoahaz, whom we'll learn more about in several prakim in several chapters from now. This year is dedicated by Michelle Levine and Susan Schuster and their families in memory of their beloved mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother, Rebbetzin Gloria Leff, Golda Tzivia Bat Baruch. Rebbetzin Leff was a highly regarded principal and Torah teacher, a master educator whose deep love for teaching Tanakh inspired hundreds of students throughout her lifetime.